No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll hear the most interesting people in the Ville. I'm your host, Rick Redding, and I have two more interesting guests lined up for the show today, as well as some commentary on some things happening in the news. Boy, what a great time to be in the city. As you know, you didn't tune in to hear about the weather, but gosh, we got snow, actual snow over the weekend. And that was good if you like snow, and you know, it caused things to pile up. I don't want to go on a real rampage about the schools and how the decision that was made to cancel school on Monday was at best questionable. We had about less than an inch of snow, and it just came at the wrong time. And in the school system, it's easy to criticize that, but gosh, they initially announced at like 5:30 in the morning. I know, because I got these text alerts that wake me up when the school system makes their decision and the news organizations send out their notice. At about 5:30 or 6, you know, they said, we're going to go to half day. You're going to go in late after the snow comes and all that. But then, like half an hour later, they sent out another release. They decided to call the whole thing off. And it's interesting, you know, just trying to figure out what goes into those kinds of decisions. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. That's all I have to say about the weather. And but on this on the show this week, I got two guys named David. David Inman, if you're from around here, you know, is the incredible Inman. Incredible Inman wrote a column for 32 years about television in the Courier Journal, and that stint ended recently. But David has a book of the sort of the greatest hits published by Butler Books, and we're going to talk about that and some other things about TV. So I like talking about TV, so it's sort of a fun little conversation. And my other guest is David Domine, who is familiar to anyone in Old Louisville. David is a well-known author, has done these ghost tours. He's done a lot of different things you'll hear about in the interview, and I thought it was great to have him on. He's been really involved in that Banus trial and is writing a book about it, as a matter of fact. So anyway, that's very interesting. We're closing in on Christmas holiday. It's a very exciting time. I've got Christmas parties to go to and all sort of festive things happening. So we're going to continue with the show, though, and it's really great. So I've got some great things lined up for the show, but right now let's go to my interview with David Inman.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
I'm happy to be joined in the studio today by David Inman. And you know, David, I think it's really great to have a nickname like Incredible, right? How'd you do that?
That was created by one of the editors at the newspaper. You know, the guy who did the column before I did was Ray Fouché, and he was the Amazing Ray.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody kind of joked around and said, hey, let's make you the Incredible Inman. And I'm like, okay. And then, you know, it became my signature. But you're right. It's kind of a nice little brand to carry around with
me. Yeah, Yeah, I was. I did. You know, I always wanted that. But anyway, you are into TV and yeah. have. Tell me a little bit about your background. You were at the Courier for how long?
Did the Incredible Lemon column for them for 32 years.
Wow.
Yeah. 10 of it as a reporter, and then the rest of it as a freelancer. But, you know, I'm a baby boomer. I grew up when there were only three channels on TV, and it was pretty easy to keep track of what was on, and developed a memory for it for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and kind of became, you know, a quote-unquote expert at it. And when I was a student at U of L, Ray Fouché had to give up the column, and I think I was the only person who applied for it, so I kind of got it by default. And went on from there, and it's been everything about it has just been an incredible amount of fun. It's a fun subject. It's universal, and I've really had a good time with it.
Well, good. Well, people know you, and we're going to talk about your book in a second. You got mm-hmm. a brand new book out, and I know you're proud of that. It's a great product. But let's talk a little bit about TV today.
Sure.
And you know, I'm really interested. I'll tell you my theory is I think the quality of dramatic television is really high, but only, you know, I guess I think it's because the cable stations, and you can watch mm-hmm. shows on yeah. HBO and Showtime without commercials versus I watch very little network TV.
I do too.
What do you watch?
I do. I watch a lot of the cable stuff, Mad Men and Homeland and things like that. And I'm an old movie fan, so I watch Turner Classic Movies a lot. But network TV really does not get a lot of... I like The Mindy Project, you know, and I like a couple other sitcoms that are on right now, but that's really about all the network TV we watch.
Yeah, it seems like there's a transformation. You never know. I think, as a follower of TV for so long, you know the change in society. It mm-hmm. seems like we don't have that common, hey, did you see
right.
L.A. Law last night, right?
Or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, American Idol. There are still, you know, a couple of them pop up like that, but no, there's a TV in every room in the house, and most kids have them on their phones and whatever. So, I mean, there's no central area of the house. When I was a kid, you had to fight over what you were going to watch on TV because you had one, and everybody agreed on it, and so everybody had to watch the same thing by default,
right.
You know?
I felt lucky to get to watch Hogan's Heroes.
It's you know, it's so totally different now in so many ways, and whenever I start talking about it, my kids look at me funny, but it really has, in a short period of time, just really changed the way we kind of consume TV.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, my point was really I can go to work and talk to 20 people, and not one of them will have watched the same thing I watched last night.
And shows do not need huge audiences to be a success anymore. That's really, right. You know, I mean, the most popular show on TV now gets, 15 years ago, if you got that as that audience share, you would be canceled. It's
yeah.
It's so diversified and so much of a niche market now. It's reaching those desirable consumers.
Yeah, and like, so let me just ask you some ballpark Incredible Inman questions.
Sure.
Is there a show that, from the past, I guess, that is, you think was landmark TV or your favorite, your personal favorite?
Yeah, well, my personal favorite is probably the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Okay.
I think it kind of encapsulates a lot of the 1960s, but I think it's also a really well-written, funny mm-hmm. show. I'm a big fan of comedies. I like dramas, but comedies, to me, those seem to be the TV shows that last the most. Seinfeld, I Love Lucy, shows like that. And so that's one that I really still enjoy. And, you know, it shows up on Netflix again, and a whole new group of people discover it. You know, it's fun to see because it's these young people who think if it's in black and white, it can't be good, mm-hmm. and they find out it's pretty good after all.
Well, do you agree with me? Like, and let's switch that same question to now.
Yeah.
The things that are on TV now. What do you like best of what's on now?
Well, I do. I am a sitcom fan. I love Modern Family still. I think that's a really well written show. And the Mindy Project. I was sorry to see 30 Rock, you know, go away, like Parks and Recreation. I still think sitcoms are great, but I think that, it's like you said earlier, cable has really opened up the dramatic field,
yeah.
I think, in a way. And if you look at network TV, it's Law and Order and it's NCIS or it's some sort of spinoff of that. And the really interesting stuff is going on cable.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't even know. I've been watching Hulu and
yeah.
and finding things on. I found the Blacklist, and I've started watching that. And that thing is, I had nightmares the other night. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night. I hope this guy,
which is
kill
interesting because it is on network TV. Yeah. So maybe they're starting to. I think the Homeland influence is really starting to be felt in a lot of network shows,
yeah.
and that seems to be one of them. And people, it's a successful show. People respond to it. So maybe the networks will get the message that if you try something different, people might
yeah.
watch it.
Well, I think there's just so many different places. So hard to decide really what to watch sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, I subscribe to cable and watch all this great, cool stuff and all that. So, but anyway, 32 years of the Courier, and you got this book. And tell
yeah.
me about the book. It's called The Good, the Bad, and the Snarky. Which I love the word snark, so
it's you know, I would always get the question, you know, what questions do you get asked the most often, and what's the, you know, dumbest question you've ever gotten asked, and the weirdest, and you know, I mean, that's what I really like to do when I did the column. I answered kind of straightforward questions, but I also liked the odd stuff, and so this is just kind of a compilation going back through the columns. I kind of divided it into chapters. There's a chapter on Saturday morning TV. There's a chapter on urban legends associated with TV and amazing how those things grow. There's a whole chapter on kids watching monster movies when they were little and being traumatized by them and wondering what the name of them are, you know, because that happens a lot too. And so it's kind of divided up into categories, and it's really just questions and answers that I thought were pretty good and worth looking at again. So
okay.
it's fun to kind of go through and pick it out.
And it's published by Butler Books.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Wow, I see on the back here there's a picture of a young man. I don't know who that is.
That's me a lifetime ago. Yeah, yeah. It's we got some archive photos from the old days of the Courier. And but yeah, you can go to butlerbooks.com and get a copy, or we're going to have some signings around town and that kind of thing, too.
And there's a big, I don't guess, this airs Thursday, so it'll be after you have a big
okay.
event coming up, right?
I do, actually, well, on Thursday night, but yeah, I guess this will air after that, so whatever.
Yeah.
Just buy it, go to butlerbooks.com and pick up a copy.
Okay, and you're going to be doing some signings around town?
Absolutely,
and all
yeah,
that?
At A Reader's Corner and Barnes & Noble and other places, and I'll put them on my Facebook page, so if you subscribe to the Incredible Inman page, you can do it there too. But
so
yeah,
you lost your I mean, well, yeah. Tell me about you left the Courier, but do you still do? Tell me what kind of things you do
right
during the day.
Still, and you know, fortunately, this was a freelance gig. I mean, my full time job is with Kindred Healthcare and their communications department. But I'm still updating my website, IncredibleInman.com, with questions and answers on there. I still actually get questions from people who kind of remember my email address, and so I'll never, you know, totally. Excuse me, stop doing this, but the venues have changed, and you know, I'd like to end up in another publication someday, but I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of looking right now, I guess.
So that's interesting to me. You get people asking you questions still, even
yeah,
though you don't have
yeah. You know, and it's funny because people talk about, you know, there's Google and there's the internet and other ways of finding information, and there is. I mean, but you kind of have to know how to use it and where to go, and you know, if you don't, then there's, and some questions you just can't find the answer to on Google. So those are special challenges to me, and I like to try to find those.
Yeah, there's the things, I guess you just, are there things you just have to remember because you got the
yeah,
great memory?
Yeah, and it's got, and my good old library of, you know, I've got 55 years worth of TV guides at home and reference books and just stuff like going way back.
Wow.
Yeah.
50 years.
Yeah, it's
a little, there was a Seinfeld episode about that.
There
right?
was, and they thought it was funny that George's parents lost the TV. I didn't think that was funny at all right? Because I have a whole collection of those. But it is. That's kind of my little OCD part, I guess. But you know, it's fun to compile that stuff and to find the answers. Yeah.
So to find you, somebody that has this burning question about what happened on an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies in 1978, they've got a. They got to find
Send me IncredibleInman at yahoo.com or go to my website, IncredibleInman.com, because I'm still doing it and, you know, I'm ready.
Well, that's great. Well, let's finish up here. But about the newspaper, I mean, that's an area, obviously, we've chronicled. I've chronicled mm-hmm, as a media mm-hmm. critic the changes in newspapers. And, you know, what's your thoughts on the future of newspapers, specifically our newspaper in town?
Well, you know, I really... I love newspapers. I love the format of them, and I look at people like Jeff Bezos at the Washington Post, and I wish him all the luck in the world, because some new thinking definitely has to happen here.
Right.
And I'm not sure we're there yet, there are a lot of good people who are still at the Courier who are friends of mine, and I feel for them because it's an uncertain time for them. I'm grateful to have had the 32 years. I mean, that was a great run.
Yeah, I haven't done anything for 32 years. So, well, David, we'll wrap it up here, but thanks again for coming by and being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Sure.
I love the book. And how much is it?
It's a $20.
$20?
Yeah, it's a deal.
Paperback deal.
What a
it's
steal.
A good deal. It's heavy. So
there you go.
It's got a lot of good stuff in it, I'm sure. So anyway, David Inman, thanks again for being on the show. And we'll be right back.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Amazing the way television has changed since... You know, David and I are of the age remembering the three stations and having this sort of a community experience with television. It's a lot better now. I watched, I've been watching some great TV. I just think the quality of television is increased now. But anyway, I got another thing about TV to talk about. But first, I want to remind my listeners that if you remember, we had Ed Hart of Kentucky Kingdom on last week. Ed followed up his talk with me. He spoke to a group in town last week, and there's a story on Insider Louisville you ought to check out if you're really interested in the financial implications of Kentucky Kingdom's return to Louisville opening. You ought to check that out. You know, we are getting up to the point where we have a lot of Rusty Satellite alumni. And, in fact, David Domine, coming up next, is the 50th guest on the show. This is the 25th show. We have two guests a show, so there you go. That's what that's about. So, bully for us. If you remember last week, I talked briefly about the idea of getting Rusty Satellite T-shirts. I have indeed ordered some. So, you know what you're getting for Christmas, kids. Anyway, speaking of kids, I wanted to talk just for a minute about a story that came up in the news this week. You know, it was in the New York Times. It was called Real Basketball Moms of Kentucky. And very interesting story about obsessive, over-aggressive parents. And apparently there may be even in the works a reality show about, with that title, Real Basketball Moms of Kentucky. There are these just obsessive. As a father of kids that are now pretty much grown up, I remember I went through all this stuff with youth sports, and I saw these parents. I saw these people. I was involved in sports. I coached Little League. I did all that, but I hope that I had a healthy respect for the place that youth sports took in our lives. These real moms of Kentucky, let me just read you an excerpt from one of the examples here. And from the New York Times, it said, "Everything changed for Susie Walker Bird, age 48, when her son entered the fifth grade. That's when basketball became more than just a diversion, and Bryce's summers, like his winters, became dedicated to playing in as many games as possible. The whole family sacrificed for Bryce," she said. She did not let her daughters be involved in sports clubs or other activities for several years because the family's money was going to Bryce's basketball expenses. Family vacations were playing around his schedule. So now Bryce is 17. He's a point guard. He goes to Eastern High School. The family has spent thousands of dollars. He's already moved to three high schools, just looking for the right opportunity, the right playing time. And a point I would make about that is these parents that do this ostensibly to help their kids to better their, really a lot of them, the whole goal is a college scholarship. And a college athletic scholarship is overrated. If you get a college scholarship and you're not a potentially a pro athlete, what you're signing up for is a job for 4 years. Your kid's going to have to spend more time on that job to earn that scholarship than on, you know, than he could probably make with a part-time job on campus. I know that. You know, way back in 1978, when I was considering playing college football, I said, you know, I looked at the economics and I just didn't have enough desire to, and I didn't like football enough to do that. And I sort of had the same thing happen with my son Josh, who is now 22 and was a good high school athlete and was just never interested in playing football in college, and I'm glad that he wasn't. I'm glad he made that decision. Josh and I watched this new documentary on HBO over the weekend, and I really recommend it to any parent or whose children are involved in youth sports, because the documentary maker is a guy named Peter Berg, who did Friday Night Lights, and he followed four Southern California young athletes whose parents, it's amazing you got this footage. One was a football player, there was a basketball player, the mother of two tennis stars, and a young lady who was a golfer. And this documentary just pointed out the obsessive nature and all the things that are wrong with youth sports in terms of parents driving their kids to play. The football player basically moved away from his dad and quit the game for a while. The young man who was a basketball player, his father was just, you know these parents. You know people like this. If you've had a child in sports, you know these people. They scream and holler in the stands. They blame the referees for everything that goes wrong, and they think their child should be the starter, the star, should never get taken out of the game. And it's just a really unhealthy. It's embarrassing for the kid, number one. And it's really embarrassing for the parent, and it's not good long term. So the basketball player featured in this documentary that was called Trophy Kids, he ends up going to like a Division II college, and his father says he's going to go to every game, home and away. So that young man, I don't think is going to enjoy that experience. The young lady, very young. Lady was played golf, and her father was caddying for her, and it showed footage of just him getting emotional about her play, and that it was just eye opening. And if you remember, a guy named Todd Marinovich, he's sort of the poster child in the, I don't know when it was, about the 80s at some point. He was a star quarterback at the University of Southern California, and was drafted by my team, the Raiders, but was sort of a flop as a professional and had gotten involved in drug abuse. But there were all kinds of stories written about him because his father had brought him up to be a quarterback, and obsessively, compulsively, that was their focus. And I don't think it turned out well. It was interesting to hear Marinovich speak, and there was a little roundtable discussion after the Trophy Kids documentary. So if you get a chance to see that, I would recommend, especially to parents, that you take a look at this. You know, the Berg in that discussion talks about something that really hit home with me, that the real value of sports in a lot of ways is the unorganized sports that really don't so much exist today. When I grew up in the South End, you know, I played most of my games over on the playground at St. Thomas More, or in the alley behind my house. That's where I learned how to play football. You know, I would do dangerous things. We climbed in the unlocked window of the gym across the street. I went on top of a three-story building to fetch a baseball. I did all kinds of things that, you know, you really shouldn't do, but we did it, and we, you know, there were always, we got all the kids in the neighborhood together. We chose up sides. We went out and we played the game. And unfortunately, kids really don't do that, in my experience, anymore. So that's too bad. But the other extreme is the only exposure to sports for a lot of kids is organized sports, and there's good to that. But you know, we're reminiscing. We're talking to Incredible Inman about old TV, and I remember old days when we enjoyed sports in that way, and it was good. So, let's move on to talk about old Louisville and David Domine. If you remember the trial last summer of Joseph Banas, it was all over the media, and it basically was a murder that happened in old Louisville. There's a lot of intrigue to the story. David, who is a writer and is also a instructor at Bellarmine and IUS, he told me, and he is just fascinated with everything old Louisville, and he got himself became an expert on this story and on this trial, and he's been on a couple of TV shows talking about it, and he's just a fascinating guy. David is. We first got together back when I was doing my first website. I worked with him to have him blog about food and dining in the area. He was really good at it, and we had a lot of fun doing that. But David, and you know, he's a real treasure in this town, because he knows everything there is to know about old Louisville, promotes it through the ghost tours and all sorts of things. He's written several books, so had a really fun and interesting conversation with David. So here it is. David Domine, who knows more than you do about old Louisville. David, well, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
And the reason, I guess, that I wanted to have you on this week, I heard you were working on this book about old Louisville, and specifically about this murder trial that I'm sure our listeners will remember last summer was in the news. Just tell me a little bit about what that's all about.
Yeah, well, most of your listeners probably know the story from this year. In March, they had a trial for Joseph Banas, and in May, they had one for Jeffrey Munt. And it's one of the strangest trials to hit the Derby City in a long time. What happened was in 2010, on an evening in June, it was, I believe, 17th, 911 was called. They were told that at 1435 South 4th Street, there was a man locked in his bedroom. This would have been Jeffrey Munt. He was calling and saying his boyfriend was trying to kill him, and his boyfriend was Joseph Banas. The police showed up. They eventually were able to get inside the house, and up on the second floor, they found Jeffrey Munt locked in his bedroom, and they found Joseph Banas out on the landing. They arrested Joseph Banas, took him to the car, and on the way downtown, he told them he knew something about a body. And at first, Detective John Lesher, who was the guy in charge, said he didn't really believe him. He said a lot of times, people will do this to try to, leverage their position and try to get out of charges or something. And the more they listened to Joseph Banas, and the more details he gave, the more they started to wonder if he wasn't telling the truth. They got him to mention a name, and he gave him the name Jamie Carroll. And so they went down to the office, and they started calling around, and it turns out that Jamie Carroll was supposed to have turned himself in to go to jail for drug-related charges the year before, but he never showed up.
Huh.
And his mother said he was missing, and so then they really started to listen to Joseph Banas, and they had him draw a map. They went back to the house. Jeffrey Munt claims to have known nothing about it, but they went down in the basement, and sure enough, they found Jamie Carroll buried in a Rubbermaid container 4 feet below the surface.
This is like really sensational stuff that, it sounds like it's from a movie or a book or whatever.
Well, yeah, and so my blurb for the book I'm working on, I say, if you made this stuff up, no one would believe you, because, he was shot and stabbed, and that was just the beginning of, this very bizarre case. It turns out he was, Jamie Carroll, was you know, he wasn't a full-time drug dealer, but he had dealt drugs. He had been in trouble with the law for drugs and things like that. But he was also a female impersonator from Eastern Kentucky, West Virginia. And then it turns out these two guys, Banus and Munt, had a counterfeit money operation set up in the house.
Oh, really?
They had been
arrested. I'm learning more as we speak.
Well, yeah, like I said, you make this stuff up, they won't believe you. But they found out that they were into sort of a kinky sexual underworld kind of thing. A lot of people are making comparisons with the TV show American Horror story on TV.
Well, speaking of TV, let's talk about now. You were a guest on a TV show that that aired nationally recently. Talk about that and what happened.
Yeah, it was this past Friday night. The A&E program after the first 48 did a special 2-hour follow-up show on the Munt and Banus case. They happened to have been in town when this story broke, so. Not too long after the story broke, they did an episode called What Lies Beneath. When the trials took place, they came back, and they had their camera people in the courtroom. And since I followed both of these trials very closely and was in the courtroom every day, I got to meet them and got to know them, and they found out about my book project. So when they came back this last summer, I took them and showed them around old Louisville and gave them my perspective on the case.
Okay.
And they did a very, I thought, a very great program. It was a 2-hour program, which is something they generally don't do, but they said this is the strangest case they've ever had on there.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly going to have to try to catch that. I haven't seen it yet. Now, and you say you're researching this book with these crazy details.
I've pretty much wrapped up the research phase, you know, sitting in on the trials. I've interviewed people who knew Munt, Banus, and the victim, Jamie Carroll. And so now it's in the writing phase. I'm going to probably need another year to get it all finished because it's, you know, new details are emerging. And like I said, it is a very strange case. But for the most part, the research is over and done with.
Wow. Well, that'll be a very interesting. Now, of course, it's not your first book and it's not your first venture into things old Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, you and I met at first mm-hmm. when we started doing a website and mm-hmm. you wrote about food and mm-hmm. in town and tell me just some of your issues, some of the books that you've
yeah
done.
most of my books are nonfiction books, and they have a Kentucky, if not a Louisville, if not an old Louisville connection. My first book came out in 2005. It was called Ghosts of Old Louisville: True Stories of Hauntings in America's Largest Victorian Neighborhood. And being an outsider, you know, I've lived in Louisville for 20 years now, but, you know, I wasn't born and bred here. I've always been amazed with this wonderful neighborhood we have, old Louisville, these blocks and blocks of wonderful Victorian homes and such, and I was always amazed the city didn't really do more to promote it. So I started writing these stories and travel guides and cookbooks and such, and tried to promote old Louisville as best as I could. So we started a tour. A business based on my books, and we got people down there starting to see the wonderful Victorian homes and mansions, learning about its haunted past, learning about the neighborhood and what makes it unique. And so,
and I can just tell you, a few years back, I know you invited me to go on one of those tours.
Mm-hmm.
I think around Halloween, and I was fascinated. It's one of the most interesting things I think I've done.
Yeah, you came on the Victorian Ghost Walk. That's an annual event we do. It's a bit of outdoor theater. I basically scripted all these parts of. Former residents of old Louisville who sort of come back and tell their stories as spirits. And it's a big fundraiser for the neighborhood. It's almost been 10 years now that we've been doing it.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
it's
very, very cool.
The weekend before Halloween. It's a great way to get people down in the neighborhood. You know, in that time of year, old Louisville is really popular.
So what's going on in old Louisville? It's Christmas season. It's a very exciting time in town, and everybody's got something going on. I'm sure you've got something in old Louisville to promote.
Well, the Holiday House Tour just wrapped up this past weekend. We had a snowy weekend, but I heard it was a very good turnout and people were still happy. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've been sort of taking it easy. I just wrapped up a stint of studying and a lot of writing, so I'm just sort of kicking back and getting ready to enjoy the holidays myself. But the tour business sort of dies down when it gets cold. But
yeah.
February, March, it'll start picking up again, and we'll get all these people.
Well, you're a big fan of or preparer of food, and, mm-hmm. and that's how we originally our connection mm-hmm. was. And are you more of a cook or just a chronicler of great recipes and food from different parts of the world?
I see myself more as a food historian or a food anthropologist. I've worked in restaurants, so I love to cook and I love to eat. That's my problem. But, you know, like I said, a lot of my writings have a Louisville or a Kentucky connection, and one of these connections is an appreciation for the foods that make this region very unique. So I write cookbooks and restaurant guides and restaurant reviews and things like that. And it's all just another way for me to get the word out about Louisville and Kentucky and what makes it unique.
Okay, you're a great ambassador, of course. Now, to put you on the spot, tough question, but you know, Old Louisville. If I want to go have the ultimate meal, the ultimate experience in Old Louisville, what kind of thing you can hedge and go one or two things, but what do you do? What do you recommend to people?
Well, Old Louisville doesn't have too many restaurants, but there are some really good ones. If you want a nice Italian meal, go to Amici on Hornsby Avenue, or go right down the block to Bucks in the old Mayflower building.
Oh, yeah, I love Bucks. I've been there.
Bucks is, you know, a neighborhood institution, and that's always a fun place. Sometimes I'd say go down to the Tavern on 4th Street. It's been around since the 30s. They're open 22 hours a day, and just, you know, decent bar food and a good place to watch neighborhood characters and the local color. Or, you know, I always recommend go down and stay in one of the bed and breakfasts. You know, there's 10 bed and breakfasts in the neighborhood. The Central Park B&B, the DuPont Mansion Inn at Central Park, the Samuel Culbertson Mansion, you know, just along 3rd and 4th Street, there's a number of them. And, you know, breakfast is included, so you get a good taste of the neighborhood right there.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm very anxious to hear. I hope you get this book done soon. Mm-hmm. I'd really be anxious to see that. I know it's a fascinating story. If anybody wants to watch this A&E special, I guess you just got to go to find it on A&E.
Go to A&E's schedule. This episode was called After the First 48, and it was called What Lies Beneath, and it was a special two-hour show, and they'll be running it again. You can also stream it like on Amazon's video, and it'll probably be on Netflix eventually. And keep watching, because there's other shows. Another show came to town. It was called Deadly Sins. They interviewed me, and they'll be putting up a half-hour show or an hour show. I forget how long it's going to be, but that'll be in a couple months.
Is that the same thing or a different?
Exact same thing. I mean, the word's getting out, and a couple other news stations and TV shows are coming to town.
Yeah, well, I guess research. A story this I guess grisly, fascinating.
Bizarre, you name it.
It's got all that. Well, David, thank you again for coming by our studios in the Highlands, and we'll look forward to watching out for that book.
I'll keep you posted.
'Tis the season. I hope that you're enjoying the Christmas season. This weekend there's a lot of holiday parties. My company, Alpha Energy Solutions, is having its holiday party at the Galt House on Saturday. I'll be there, and you know, there's a lot of invites coming in for various parties, etc. So it's a great time of year, and I hope you're enjoying the season, having some fun. I got my tree up at my house, and you know, another week or so, I'll start my Christmas shopping. Looking forward to that. Got some special people to buy for this year, and it's just a very happy time. So I hope it's a happy time for you as well. And we'll be back next week. I've got some great guests lined up. Some more of the most interesting people in the Ville will be right here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Time.